Natural gas explosions and fires shook communities north of Boston. As the recovery and cleanup continues, what's the impact on energy policy? I'm Sam Hudzik, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our quick look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts. We're joined by Matt Murphy with the State House News Service. Hey there, Matt.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. So as we tape this, some eastern Massachusetts communities have been dealing with explosions and fires from these natural gas problems. Matt, Massachusetts has had a lot of debate over pipelines for natural gas and its role in the state's energy future. Do these explosions affect that debate?
Well, they're not going to make people eager to expand natural gas infrastructure or convince opponents of expanding natural gas infrastructure that now is the time to bring more in, certainly. But I think more importantly than that, you're likely to see lawmakers, depending on the cause of these explosions, take another look at the state's protocols for holding gas companies accountable for repairing leaks and also for the emergency preparedness plans that they are required to have on hand, and how this response played out once we kind of can take a step back and review how Columbia Gas responded to this disaster and what may have led up to it.
And of course, politicians want to avoid looking really crass when you've got these big disasters like this, especially fatal disasters like this. But Governor Baker initially called Columbia Gas's response adequate, and then his Democratic opponent, Jay Gonzalez, put out a release that didn't specifically criticize the governor's response, but said that Columbia Gas's response was anything but adequate. What's the fine line that politicians walk in a situation like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is certainly ripe to become part of the campaign, maybe too soon in the day or days after, but it's certainly there. And I can't help but think back to 2010 when Governor Patrick was running for re-election against then challenger Republican Charlie Baker, and there was a major water main break in Weston that knocked out water service to some 2 million people in the greater Boston metro area, and that became a key leadership moment for the governor that helped kind of turn around some of his numbers and a string of bad headlines that the governor was trying to overcome at that time. And time will tell whether or not the governor can capitalize on this moment and show what kind of leader he can be, or whether or not it will backfire on him and give an opening to someone like Jay Gonzalez.
And Baker got some good news courtesy of his primary rival's decision to take a long winter vacation to Tennessee.
Yeah, that's right. Scott Lively had been flirting with the idea of raising money and campaigning against the governor after losing the Republican primary to Charlie Baker. He is not going to do that after all. He's now looking to just kind of retire his campaign debt and move on. But that whole episode sort of highlighted the problems that the governor has with the right wing of his party, the conservatives. I mean, some 100,000 people did vote for Scott Lively, and we've heard from some people like the head of the Massachusetts Republican Assembly, Mary Lou Daxlin, who had told the Boston Globe that she doesn't know any of Lively's supporters who will pull the lever for Charlie Baker in November. And the governor is certainly in a different position than he was in 2014, but having won that election by just 40,000 votes, he perhaps can't afford to lose large chunks of Republicans or conservative independents and still hope to win a second term.
All right, and let's turn briefly to the latest on marijuana in Massachusetts. There's still no retail marijuana stores open in the state, now 2.5 months after the target date for that. But the industry got some welcome news when a credit union based in Gardner decided it would work with marijuana businesses. How big is this?
Yeah, this is a pretty big development, I think, for marijuana in Massachusetts. Certainly with the Republican administration in Washington kind of signaling a reversal of the Obama-era policy to kind of turn a blind eye to states that had legalized marijuana, the Trump administration and Jeff Sessions have said that they intend to enforce federal law, and that had scared banks away from doing business in states like Massachusetts and Colorado and California, where voters had opted to legalize marijuana. But with this credit union agreeing to take a step in this direction and work with retail shops, that means these businesses don't have to operate all cash. Consumers will be able to use credit to make their purchases, and it kind of changes the whole dynamic of what this industry could be in Massachusetts.
Okay, Matt Murphy, reporter and associate editor with the State House News Service in Boston. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
This is Beacon Hill in 5, NEPR's weekly check-in at the State House. It's also a podcast. You can subscribe at nepr.net/podcast hub. This is New England Public Radio.